As we gather around the table of the Lord today, the great Lord's Supper, I have a couple of passages I share with you, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament, about banquets, about feasts. First, from the 25th chapter of the book of Isaiah, beginning with the 6th verse, the prophet writes, "On this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, 'Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation.'" And then from the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, beginning with the 15th verse, we find this parable. "One of the dinner guests, on hearing this, said to him," meaning Jesus, "'Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is ready now." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, "I have bought a piece of land and I must go and see it. Please accept my regrets." Another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please accept my regrets." Another said, "I have just been married and therefore I cannot come." So the slave returned and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and said to his slave, "Go out at once into the streets and lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." And the slave said, "Sir, what you ordered has been done, and there is still room." Then the master said to the slave, "Go out into the roads and lanes and compel people to come in, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As we have mentioned, today is World Communion Sunday, that one Sunday of the year when participating churches the world over gather around the table of the Lord to celebrate our oneness in Christ, promoting our unity as Christians. We speak about the vision of a future heavenly banquet, a feast wherein all God's people from all the nations live in harmony and glory. And then we go back out into a world, a nation heavily divided along racial lines, along economic and social lines, along political and ideological lines. And many of us, blind to our own complicity in reinforcing and benefiting from systems of inequality, comfort ourselves with platitudes about America being the land of opportunity where all people are created equal. But we know it's really not true. If we dare to be honest with ourselves, there are many partakers of Christ's body who would declare others unfit, unclean, unworthy to sit at the table with them. We often treat World Communion Sunday as a celebration, and rightly so. However, I sometimes wonder if our inability to live together in unity, even with our fellow Christians, should convict us. Maybe World Communion Sunday should be a Sunday of conviction, as opposed to a Sunday of celebration. Maybe it should remind us of how far we have to go. On March 31st, 1968, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. preached, "We must face the sad fact that 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, when we stand and sing, 'In Christ there is no East or West,' we stand in the most segregated hour of America." Jesus loves the little children. You know that song? All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Reflecting on those words from Dr. King, author Joseph Barnt invites us, and I quote, "to fast forward to the present time and picture yourself attending a church at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning in a large city, suburb, or small town anywhere in the United States. Look around. What do you see? Whether seated in a jam-packed megachurch or a dwindling congregation with far too many pews, you will probably see that little has changed. More than 5 decades after the passage of the Civil Rights Act, when racial segregation is supposed to have become a thing of the past, more than likely, the congregation where you are worshiping is composed of all, or almost all, one racial group, whether white, African American, Latino, Hispanic, Asian American, or Native American. The simple fact is that regardless of the racial and cultural identity of United States churches, 11 o'clock Sunday morning remains today the most segregated hour of the week. And sadly, the church itself bears tremendous responsibility for that reality, though that is a topic for another day. A theme that runs throughout much of Scripture is the idea of a messianic banquet. And it is primarily depicted as a feast of good things, as the prophet Isaiah describes it in the 25th chapter. "The Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich foods, a feast of well-matured wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-matured wines strained clear." And here and in other places we learn who will be at this feast. All peoples, here in Isaiah. People will come from east and west, from north and south, to sit at the table in the kingdom of God, we read in Luke. The nations shall gather, as described in Matthew and Revelation and other places. And in the parable we read in Luke, when the people on the original guest list end up making excuses and skip the banquet, another metaphor for the messianic banquet, the invitation goes out to anyone he can find. Well, as you image this messianic banquet to come, what will it look like? When the nations gather at this heavenly banquet, will it be monochromatic, similar to what we have gathered here? Sometimes I think we think it will look just like our bridge club or golf foursome, people who look and think and talk just like us. But that's not the biblical image of the messianic banquet, is it? The biblical image is far richer in texture and tone. And to be truthful, this is where the metaphor breaks down, because God's banquet isn't even really a place. It's a way of experiencing life that many who call themselves Christians haven't yet discovered. God's party can be, God's banquet can be in lovely buildings with stained glass windows. It can be in a street front room. It can be in a multi-million dollar facility replete with a coffee shop and a full recreational program. But it isn't God's banquet until the people whom the world has dishonored are received as the guests of honor. The point of this parable, whether they're poor or wounded or just different. Sometimes I think we get confused about something. We think we're the hosts of this meal, that we get to decide the invitation list, that we get to choose whom is worthy of sitting at the table. Yeah, I think there's a whole lot of people who think that they're the hosts of God's banquet, who think that they get to stand at the gate and decide who gets in and who doesn't make the cut. In our passage, Jesus was eating dinner with people like this who thought they deserved the best seats at God's table, which is why he told them a story that basically says, God stopped sitting around the table with you when you gave yourself the seat of honor. He's breaking bread with the down and out outside your gate. Friends, on this World Communion Sunday, maybe we should empty ourselves, as Paul describes it, so we too can sit down and dine with God. As we gather around this table today, we do celebrate it as a foretaste of the heavenly banquet to come. But let us gather with great humility, not presuming that we are the gatekeeper, but that only through the grace of God are we even invited to participate and partake.